So I'm just going to talk about... can you hear me, all of you? Okay, fine. So I'm going to talk about Diwali. And the most important pastime which happened in Diwali is Damodar Leela. We know that. And also Lord Ram, he conquered Sri Lanka and Lanka. And he came back. And there were festivals and there were crackers and in the praise of Lord Ram. And that's why people celebrate Diwali. But what is more important to us is this whole pastime of Damodar Ashtakam, which happened today. And we are going to talk about that. Okay, so now, before I just talk, I'll just offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and then we can talk. Om Agyanat Nimarantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vritamena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharana Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschadeshtarane Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so what about Damodar Leela? It's very important pastime. There are two pastimes in Krishna's pastimes which are very important to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. One is the Govardhan pastime, the pastime where Krishna lifted the hill of Govardhan. And the other one is this Damodar pastime. Now, we are not going to talk about Govardhan pastime, but the whole idea in Govardhan pastime, the speciality of that pastime was that Krishna, in those 7 days when he lifted Govardhan, he experienced or he tasted all kind of rasas. All 5 primary rasas and all 7 secondary rasas. He was enjoying that. The name of Krishna, Rasik Shekhar, he's a supreme enjoyer of all rasas. That really came alive in the Govardhan pastime. That was the speciality of Govardhan pastime in one line. But this pastime is special for another reason. Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar Leela. Because there are 8 secrets in this pastime. Krishna does his pastimes for many reasons. Why he does so many pastimes? There are many reasons. Krishna doesn't do anything without any reason. He's not a cranky fellow, am I right? There is a reason there. And that is why Vedanta Sutra, there is a sutra na prayojanatvat. Vedanta Sutra, there's the first sutra, Thato Brahma Jigyasa, Janmadya Syata, then Shastriyonitvat, and then this sutra comes, Na Prayojanatvat. And this sutra means that Krishna, he doesn't do anything without any logical reason. Although it might sometimes seem that this pastime has absolutely no reason except experiencing fun, but there are valid and deep reasons behind those pastimes. Now, that is why, and the whole point is not just one reason, but many reasons. Because Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion that Krishna is expert. One of the qualities of Krishna is Daksha. And Prabhupada explains who is an expert person. An expert person is that who can do multitasking. You know, multitasking, computer. I'm using this language. So Krishna achieves many goals by one activity. He's not a kind of person who does one thing and one result. He doesn't like that because it's simply a waste of time. He's a very busy person there. There's so many things to do. And that's why it is said, Krishna says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a discussion between Krishna and gopis, and Krishna says to gopis that, you see gopis, you are quite fortunate and it's very simple for you because you have to satisfy me. But for me, it's so difficult and it's so unfortunate position that I have to satisfy so many. For me, it's a difficult task because I have to satisfy so many people. But for us as individual devotees, it's simple. We have to satisfy only one person. So Krishna has so many things to do. So he doesn't like to do a single thing in a single time. He does multitasking. So every pastime has many reasons. For many reasons, he is doing one pastime. By one pastime, he is satisfying not only devotees, but also he is satisfying probably yogis and jnanis and also non-devotees, because when they hear his pastime, they are attracted to him. He is also satisfying a neophyte, a paramahamsa. He can do it. He can satisfy everybody. So in this pastime of Damodar Leela, there are 8 reasons why he is doing this pastime. And that is why we have this Damodar Ashtakam. Now this Damodar Ashtakam, I think, is written by Satyavrat Muni. Isn't it? I think it is mentioned in Padma Puran. And Sanatan Goswami quotes from Padma Puran this song in his book Hari Bhakti Vilas. Let's say Sanatan or Gopal Bhatt, whoever it is. So, why there are 8 verses? Why not 10? Because one reason is because generally songs are written either in 8 or maybe 100. There's a particular system of writing songs. So that's one reason, because then it comes in Ashtakam or maybe Dashakam. Sometimes they write in 10 verses, 8 verses or 100. It goes like that. That's one reason. But of course, Satyavrat Muni, he is writing 8 verses because there are 8 secrets. And I'm going to tell you that. What are the secrets? Why Krishna does what he does in this pastime. Okay. You all know Damodar Ashtakam, so I don't need to repeat it. We all sing daily. But probably the secrets you might not know. The first verse is Namamishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Eshoda Bhiulukat Ladhavamanam Paramishtam Atyanto Drutya Gopya. The first verse, now you have to focus on this word Yashoda Bhiulukat. Bhiu means fear. Now what Satyavrat Muni is saying in this first verse is he's glorifying Krishna's one quality. On that quality, all qualities rests. Now what is happening in the first verse is he begins with Namamishwaram Satchitananda Rupam. He directly says, Krishna, you're God. Because he's Ishwaram. The word he uses is Ishwaram. But then he brings the point that you are fearing Yashodama. Now there is a contradiction he's trying to bring. And he's saying, Krishna, you are simultaneously omniscient because you're God. But at the same time, you are becoming bewildered. You are fearing Yashodama. You don't know what to do. Now this is the thing which Satyavrat Muni is bringing. That's why Krishna does his pastime, to show that he is God, but at the same time he can become bewildered. But the whole question here is he truly becoming bewildered or not? That's the whole question there. Does he know that he's God when he's becoming bewildered? Or he forgets that? That's the main thing. Madhva will never agree that he's forgotten he's God. Madhvacharya, if you happen to meet him and you tell, Krishna was fearing Yashodama and he really feared him, he'll say, you're going to hell. That's all. He'll never accept that, because he thinks Krishna is God and he can never forget that he's God. Only illusion makes you forget that he's God. And how can illusion work on Krishna? He's a master of illusion. But that's not our take. That's not what Gaudiya Vaishnavas think. According to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he's truly becoming bewildered. He's not acting. And the whole point here is how they substantiate is, there is an example given in Bhagavatam. You see, 3rd canto, 4th chapter, 16th and 17th verse, where Krishna is in Dwarka and he meets Uddhav. And Uddhav comes, and actually Krishna calls Uddhav. And Krishna says, Uddhav, I am very confused. Why? Because Krishna was in a problem, and the problem was these kings, Jarasandh, you know Jarasandh, who actually captivated so many kings, imprisoned. Now these kings wrote a letter to Krishna, Krishna, please help us to get free of Jarasandh. They wrote. Now there was a letter. Simultaneously, another letter came on the same day from Devarshi Narad. And Narad wrote a letter. You see, Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing a yajna, Ratsu yajna, and he's calling you. So what to do? He was confused whether to go to help those kings or to go to Yudhishthira. And he was in a dilemma. So he calls Uddhava and he asks Uddhava, Uddhava, I'm confused. You please tell me what to do. And third canto, fourth chapter, 17th verse. Uddhava tells Krishna, Krishna, actually, you know what? I'm confused. How you can be confused? And he says, you know, he says, mohyati eva, mukta eva. That's the word he uses. It seems that you are confused and you're bewildered. And you can't take decisions. And how come it is, just in the previous verse, 3:4:16, he tells, how come this is, I'm also bewildered, and I was thinking for so much time, that how come time personified, which you are, you can experience fear when Yashoda Ma was running behind you. I can't figure that out. I heard about that past time. Definitely they would be hearing him, isn't it? This news would have gone everywhere. And I was bewildered. And I was also bewildered many of your past times where you were playing with your friends and you completely forgot who you are. And I can't really get around this fact. And now this. Now this is a first-hand experience. You're confused in front of me. That I heard. But this is happening in front of me. And by seeing your bewilderment, I'm bewildered. And he says, Kunti said the same thing to me. Kunti, she was also witnessing this pastime, Damodar Leela. We know from Bhagavatam, she was there. She happened to visit Vrindavan when this pastime was happening. And she said in first canto, Kunti prayers, she says, how can Krishna, how can you be bewildered when Yashodama is trying to tying you? I am bewildered by that fact. And the whole point, what Acharya's comment is, the fact Yashoda and Uddhava are bewildered by seeing bewilderment of Krishna, this shows and this proves that Krishna is really getting bewildered. Because if he was not, then Uddhava, he's a very intelligent man, by the way. If he was not, then there was no question of bewilderment of Uddhava. Okay? Uddhava could understand Krishna is God, he's just acting. But Kunti also knew, but they were bewildered. And that's the whole point. Krishna is simultaneously omniscient and simultaneously completely ignorant. How does it happen? We don't know. Krishna is the most intelligent person and is the most foolish boy in Vrindavan. And he's not acting, by the way. It's really happening with him. When this Agasur came, you know Agasur? Agasur, he came and these boys were, so Agasur was feigning as a snake, big, as a cave, mountain cave. And all these boys, they went into that cave. They were confused whether it's a snake or a cave. And they went into the mouth. And Bhagavatam says, Krishna, for a moment, he was really confused what to do. Whether to save them, whether to call them. He forgot everything. He didn't know what to do. So that's the whole point. By Damodar Leela, Krishna is trying to inform us, his devotees, that he is God, but at the same time, there are some places where he gets bewildered. Or in other words, Madhure and Aishware, they go together when in the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is completely powerful and completely sweet. And they are mixed together in the pastimes of Vrindavan. That's what one of the secrets is there in the first verse of Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar Leela. So, the more relationship you have with Krishna, the more he gets bewildered. That's the whole point there. So his bewilderment is not, why is he getting bewildered? Because of the devotee's mood. because their intensity of love. And that's why he never gets bewildered in Vaikuntha. He is the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha, he is Vishnu. These rishis cannot bewilder him because the love is not so strong. And that's the second verse. And the second secret of Damodar Leela. The second verse is Rudanta Muhur Netra Yugma Mrijantam Karamboja Yugmena Satanka Netram. Krishna is weeping and he is rubbing his eyes, isn't it? Muhu Shwasha Kampa, he's breathing, Tiraka Kanta, Sita Greva Damodaram, Bhakti Vadham. Now the whole idea is he's not only fearing, but he's weeping and he's acting like a very ordinary child. Now you see this kind of expression, what Krishna is expressing in front of Yashoda, it's impossible. He will not express this, his whole mood in front of his friends and in front of his servants. He'll not do that. This is only before his mother. So you see, the Vatsalya Ras is so strong that it bewilders Krishna to this extent that he starts weeping. And he's out of control. He starts even running. This never happens in Shantras and never happens in Dasaras. It cannot happen. Why? Because those devotees, their love is not so strong as Yashoda, Vatsalaras. And when Krishna goes in front of gopis, he is completely bewildered. Because their love, Madhuraras, is very strong. In front of gopis, he cannot even understand that he is Krishna. That's their love. He forgets that he is Krishna. I mean, he forgets who he is. That's that kind of love he has. Sometimes he is simply absorbed in Mother Radha and he thinks he is Radha. What to do of that? So, he actually can't think of anything. That is what is the second verse. The secret of Damodar Leela is Krishna is trying to inform us that my mood depends on your mood. The game doesn't start with him, the game starts with you. So the entire process of devotion depends on us and not on him. He will reciprocate according to us. So that's why Jiva Goswami says in one of his commentary, so many birds fly in the sky, but they have to decide how high they have to fly. Sky is unlimited. Similarly, so many devotees are doing devotion. They have the power. They have to decide how high and how deep in devotion they want to go. Krishna is ready for you. Krishna is ready to reveal his secrets to us and his mysteries, provided we have that depth of devotion. It's up to us. And that is why verse 3 comes. And in verse 3, Krishna is revealing more secrets of his pastime. In the verse 3, Satyavrata Muni, he's revealing another secret of Damodar Leela. And he's saying, now verse 3 is, Iti Drika Swalilabhir Ananda Kunde Saghosham Nimajantam Akhyapayantam. He's saying, Krishna, I'm seeing your Leela. Iti Drika Swalilabhir Ananda Kunde, I'm filled with bliss. And Puna Prema Tastam Shatavriti Vande. I'm so blissful that I want to offer obeisances to you. Shatavriti, millions of times. The third verse, Krishna is trying to reveal us through this pastime that Krishna will give you opportunity to glorify him by doing these pastimes. The more you feel bliss, the more you want to glorify him. That's how it goes, isn't it? This is there in material world also. The more you like something and the more you feel blessed, the more you want to glorify him. Now, Krishna makes you glorify himself. That's what he is doing. It is not that we want to glorify him. We don't want to glorify him. Let's face this, am I right? Nobody wanted to come to Krishna. He pulled us. Through his devotees, through his planning, he caught us. And now he is making us glorify himself. And that is why one of the devotees in South India, he's Alwar. Alwar, Divya Prabandham, you know Divya Prabandham? There's devotees in South India. And he writes a song and he dedicates his song to Krishna and he writes that, oh my Lord, actually he's challenging God, Krishna, in his song. I think this is by Namalwar or somebody. And he says, "Oh my Lord, oh, actually this song is by Kanak Das." You know Kanak Das, one South Indian saint. He says, "Oh my Lord, you brought me in Krishna consciousness. I never wanted to come." Isn't it? We never wanted to come to Krishna. But you brought me. And you made me glorify yourself by doing so many wonderful pastimes. That's why he does pastimes, so that we glorify him. We are forced to glorify him, am I right? We are forced. Who will not glorify Krishna's pastimes if they read it and if they hear it? It's so nice. You made me glorify yourself. And now you have to make sure that I attain you. And if you don't do this, I will go back in the city and I will start preaching you're not God. And I'll destroy you. he was a Kanak Das. Kanak Das was very popular, and he says to Krishna, "Krishna, I'm very popular as a devotee, and if I start speaking you're not a God, people will believe me. Because I change into atheist. So you better make yourself attain me." So that's the whole point. You cannot leave me in between. Otherwise, why did you bring me in? Why did you bring me? Just to leave me around in the middle? And that's the whole point in verse 3. The secret of Damodar pastime is Krishna is making Yashoda run after him. He is a director there. And then he is making Yashoda confused. And then he gets bound and gives her bliss. He's directing everything. Yashoda doesn't realize that, but he's doing that. So Krishna gives the opportunity to glorify him by doing so many nice pastimes. In fact, I think Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, somebody, they write in their prayers, one of the prayers, and they write, "Oh my Lord Krishna, now your pastimes have ended 5,000 years back. And we are so sad that we cannot glorify you more than what we wanted. We have glorified all your pastimes and now we cannot glorify you more because there are no pastimes now. What to do?" And they are so sad for this fact. So that's the third secret of Damodar Leela. Krishna is making himself glorify and he will help us attain himself. The only thing he requires from us is sincerity and the desire to attain him. That's the only thing he requires. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one of his songs, "Jeev Ichha Matra Kore." What we can do for Krishna? Nothing. The only thing we can do is we can desire him. And once you desire him, he takes charge. And he will make you do everything. But as soon as you stop desiring him, he will stop doing anything. He will stop his plans. And Maya will take over. That's all. So it's all desire. So Krishna is just seeing you desire what you want. And accordingly he works. That's the third verse. Now when you glorify Krishna, then he likes to reciprocate with you. Right? That's the fourth verse. And the fourth verse says, "Varam deva moksham na mokshavatimva na chanyam vrineham vareshadapya idam deva purnatha gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanya." Krishna, I don't want anything from you. Please remain in my mind. Now what Satyavrat Muni is telling, Krishna, please remain in my heart. That means please reciprocate with me. So Krishna reciprocates with everyone who glorifies him. Actually, that's Krishna's nature. People who glorify Krishna, Krishna likes to glorify them. He makes sure, people who envy Krishna, Krishna makes sure they'll be envied by everyone. If you try to interact with Krishna, everything will happen complete. Remember, because he's complete. If you try to cheat him, he'll cheat you completely. So completely that you will never even know that he's cheating you. That's why so many devotees, they say, be careful when you are with Krishna. He's nice. He's very nice. He's very, very nice. But he's very tricky. So if you try to play tricks with him, you will have it. You see, lives after lives. That's why Krishna says, you know what I want? I want one thing. Don't be duplicitous. That's what he wants to see. Okay, you have problems, I know. You have lust, you have anger, you have greed, you have material desires, no problem, but don't be duplicitous. Accept what you are. Speak truth. See, that's the whole trick of devotion. Satyam Param Dhimahi. That's the first verse. Anybody wants to advance in devotion, the fourth verse helps us to understand. Anybody wants to advance in devotion, the only thing they need is to speak truth to themselves. If we speak truth to ourselves, okay, this is what we are, this is what desires I have to get free of this desire somehow and advance, that's all. And Krishna helps. But if we think, but if we start thinking, I'm a devotee, I'm this, I'm that, then there is a whole problem. So that is verse 4. He will reciprocate with every devotee, who is truthful to himself and who is glorifying Krishna. Now, sense gratification is a type of glorification of material world. If you try to think about it. That's why Krishna says, don't do sense gratification, because that means you're glorifying matter. The point is, we want to enjoy those things whom we appreciate. Am I right? We want to enjoy those things whom we appreciate. First we appreciate and then we enjoy. Okay, I like this food. This food is so nice. As soon as you speak this statement, this food is so nice, the next step is, it should go in my mouth. I should enjoy it. But if the first statement is, this food is so bad, you will not like to enjoy it. Am I right? So sense gratification, in other words, is glorifying matter. That's why Krishna says, Krishna is informing us, stop sense gratification, because sense gratification is you're glorifying material world and you're glorifying me. And that's a blasphemy of God. Trying to enjoy material world is blasphemy of God. You know why? Because you're saying material world is nice, Krishna is nice. You're trying to equate both Krishna and you're trying to equate the beauty of material world and the enjoyment of material world to the enjoyment of Krishna and bhakti. And that's why Krishna says, Kamesha Krodesha, first of all, leave sense gratification. Otherwise, you're blaspheming me. We don't realize this, am I right? We don't realize this. Because generally we think, what's the problem in sense gratification? Krishna is, well, I mean, why Krishna is at our case? Why doesn't he want us to enjoy? He is enjoying and he doesn't want to let us enjoy, isn't it? Why does he want to stop our sense gratification? Why can't it be that we can enjoy this material world and enjoy Krishna? What's the problem? But there's a whole problem there. There's a whole problem. And this is a verse he's talking about. Satyabrata Muni is saying, Sadave manasya virastam ke man. He's saying, please remain in my heart, because my heart only glorifies you, nobody else. That's all. And how do we know that our heart is glorifying Krishna? Any devotee can say, I mean, isn't it? Any devotee can come and say, Prabhuji, my heart only glorifies Krishna. Everybody likes to say that. But we can know whether you are speaking truth or not. How? By sense gratification. If you're doing sense gratification, this means you are not glorifying Krishna completely. You're also glorifying matter. So Krishna can know that by our actions. That's the fourth verse. And then comes the sixth verse. Fifth verse. What's that? Idam te mukham vojam atyanta nilay ritam kuntalay snigdha raktayascha gopya. Satyabrata Muni is seeing in his mind. Actually, you know what? When Satyabrata Muni is writing this Damodar Ashtakam, he's not writing, by the way. He's seeing directly face to face. How do we know? Because this, if you read Sanskrit, the words he's using is in present tense. It's not in past tense. Everybody knows Sanskrit. So he's seeing, this past time is revealed to him. He's not writing, he's not thinking and writing. That's not the style. So he says in the fifth verse, Muhus chumbitam bimba raktadharam me manasya virastam alam lakshalabhai. He says, oh my Lord, Oh my Lord, manasya virastam alam lakshalab hai. I offer millions and millions of obeisances to you because I see in this revelation that Yashoda Maa is kissing you again and again and again. It is here. Muhus chumbitam. Muhus chumbitam means, muh means face, chumbitam means kissing. So I see and I offer you obeisances again and again. Now what's happening? Satyavrata Muni is revealing a secret there, that the whole secret of Krishna consciousness is not to actually feel bliss. That's not the whole point there. The whole secret of Krishna consciousness is to worship bliss and you will automatically feel bliss. And that is very important concept. Because if you try to feel bliss in Krishna consciousness, you will never feel bliss because that's a selfish activity. That's basically sense gratification. So what a devotee does, Krishna reveals his pastime between Yashoda and Krishna. And Krishna is sharing his bliss with his devotees. And when we worship this bliss, what Satyavrata Muni is doing there, in the act of appreciating that bliss and worshipping it, you will experience it automatically. Is there an example in material world? Yes. For example, you go to movies. Everybody has seen movie, am I right? Now what happens in movies? There is a hero, there is a heroine, and they're enjoying. You're not enjoying with the heroine. That hero is enjoying, but the fact that you're seeing them and you're appreciating, oh, that's nice. You also start feel the bliss, am I right? You feel happy just by seeing them. Or maybe the hero is fighting with the villain. You see that fight? Sometimes when hero is fighting with the villain, and if he's like really, you know, defeating the villain, you become very happy. So I remember when I was a child, we used to see movies, and if that hero is fighting and, you know, really beating that villain, our fist also used to clench. I used to, yes, do it. We're not in a real fight, and neither we want to really fight. But the whole point is because we are appreciating that pastime of that hero, we start feeling the same emotions. That's a trick to feel emotions. And that's why this pastime Krishna is doing, to reveal this secret. The secret of Krishna consciousness is not to feel bliss. The secret of Krishna consciousness is to worship that bliss and appreciate it. And then you can feel the same bliss even without qualification. You may not be qualified to experience that bliss. And neither we can become so qualified that we can experience the same bliss what Vrindavan has. You have to become extremely qualified, extremely pure. But nevertheless, you can experience it just by appreciating it. And that's why he does so wonderful pastimes, that you're forced to appreciate it. When you're forced to appreciate that, then you start feeling the same bliss. You see, that's one secret which fifth verse is trying to tell you, that fifth secret of Damodar Ashtakam. And the sixth secret of Damodar Ashtakam is, if you want to really appreciate the bliss of devotion, you need to put some efforts. And you need to have some mercy of God. And that's the sixth verse. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasido Prabho Dukha Jalabdi Magnam. Prasido means mercy. Please have mercy on me, my Lord. Kripa Drishti Vrishyati Dinam Batano. Please give your merciful glance on whom? Dinam. Dinam means what? Dinam means what? Dinam means this lowly person. This lowly person. Grihanesha Maam Agyam Edi Akshitrishya. I want to see, my eyes want to behold these pastimes. The word Akshi here, eyes, refers to see. In Sanskrit, to see doesn't mean to see. In Sanskrit, to see means to analyze. So you see the point here? I'm using the word see. You see the point? So when you see the point, you don't see the point. You understand the point. Am I right? So here seeing means analyze the pastime. That means efforts. A devotee has to put efforts. If you want to understand all these mysteries, we have to put proper efforts. What kind of efforts? Intellectual efforts. And physical efforts in service. Both. When we apply these efforts, then Krishna extends his mercy. So the whole point is, any pastime, if you want to appreciate, if you want to attain Krishna, there has to be combination of mercy and efforts, both. Because there was a big debate in Sri Vaishnavism on this point, by the way. Do we attain Krishna through mercy or do we attain Krishna through efforts? And Sri Vaishnavism split into two sects, Vadakalai and Tenkalai. You know this? They split. It was such a serious debate that they were fighting and they killed each other. You can imagine, they were bloodshed. Because one group, Tenkalai, was saying, you achieve Krishna through mercy. Vadakalai was saying, no, it's efforts. There was serious bloodshed, and then there was a whole books are written on that. And they became so much anti to each other that they had a full list of differences. They created differences. So one person was saying, Vadakalai was saying, okay, you know what, when you offer to Krishna, you're not supposed to sit towards the... When you worship Krishna, you're not supposed to sit towards north. And these people think, because they had grudges against that system, they said, no, you should sit south. And they just changed everything. They just changed everything. And one of the points which they fought seriously was, Tenkalai was saying, I mean, you see such silly points they were fighting. It started with this, and it went to such a silly thing that Vadakalai was saying, you see, before you have to eat sweets before prasadam. And Tenkalai was saying, no, you have to eat sweets after prasadam. And they were fighting about this. Sometimes, you know, when you start fighting, it begins with a serious point, but then it goes to some silly things, and you're fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. That's what happened. So they were fighting, but then Mahaprabhu came and then he said, well, don't fight, you know. I'll resolve it. You know, either attain Krishna only through mercy, you know, either attain Krishna only through efforts. You attain Krishna through the combination of both. Efforts from our part and mercy from his part. And both of them combine and then there is a fire of devotion. Otherwise it doesn't come. That's why you see, even in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there were sahijyas. All these sahijyas in Vrindavan, they say only mercy and forget all these rules, regulations, and Vaidhi bhakti is useless, Raghunoga bhakti, there's a whole group there. And but that's useless because they're just invoking mercy of Lord without doing efforts. That's one group. Another group is the other extreme. All these karmkandis, brahmanas, they say, no, everything is efforts, you have to follow your own rituals and this and that. Mercy, okay, that's anyway there. That's a whole problem. Bhaktisiddhanta gives the example of the well. A well. If somebody has fallen in the well, what do you do? Now the person outside the well, he is shouting, oh, hey, catch the rope. And what do you have to do? He says, catch the rope tightly. I'll pull it up, but you have to do one thing. Don't leave the rope. If you leave the rope, I can't help you out. Now that's the whole thing. We need efforts to continue to catch the mercy of Lord. He's extending mercy, that's well and enough. But we have to be attentive and careful to keep ourselves in that mercy. Because our mind will not allow to do that. We will run away to somewhere else. We will ourselves run away. And that's when Narottam Das Thakur, he prays to Krishna, Krishna, anyway, your mercy is there. And I'm trying to keep myself in your mercy with your devotees and whatever it is. But in case I become mad, because I can't rely on my mind, and if I run away from the whole system of mercy, please do one thing, it's my prayer. Please catch me by my hairs and pull me back to your devotional feet. Do something. Hit me, beat me, scold me, but take me back. Narottam Das Thakur prays in one of his songs. He's written a book, Prathana, and he prays that. Yeah. So that's the fifth verse. There's a sixth verse. The combination of mercy and efforts. From our part, okay, our vision, okay, here's a quiz. The vision of devotees should be fixed on what? Mercy or efforts? Both or what? What we are supposed to keep in our mind, mercy or efforts? Efforts on our part? And what's Krishna supposed to keep in his mind? mercy. Okay. In the heart, you should have efforts, but in the eyes, you should have mercy. That's what it says. You fix your vision on mercy, but fix your heart on efforts. That's what it says. For Krishna is just the opposite. He fixes his vision on efforts of the devotees. But in the heart, he has mercy. That's how it goes. That's the master and servant relationship. That's what is happening here, Krishna and Yashoda. The same thing happening. And Satyavrata Muni is revealing that secret. And the seventh verse is interesting. When you are able to connect with Krishna through mercy and efforts and this whole dynamics, seventh verse, Satyavrata Muni just switches to another pastime, within this pastime, that is Kovera Atma Jau Baddha Murta Vayadvat. He is thinking of Kuberas who are bonded in that tree, who are cursed. And Satyavrata Muni says, Toya Mochitau Bhakti Bhajau Kritaucha. Now this is interesting pastime, because what is happening here is, Krishna is tied up. And what Krishna is doing, Satyavrata Muni is saying, in this situation, you are thinking how to release these people. This who were those Kuvera Atma Jau? Who was those? Manigri? What was their name? Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. These people, they got cursed by Narada and they have become trees there. See, this is what is a great personality. A great person, he doesn't think about himself. Krishna is himself tied. He is not thinking that when he gets released, he is thinking when they get released. And Krishna specifically wanted to show this pastime, within this pastime, because he wanted to show that I exist for others. I don't exist for myself. Even this whole pastime of running and having fear from Yashoda, why he is doing that? So that Yashoda gets bliss. He's not doing it for himself. Nothing. He knows that the mother will get bliss if I behave in such a manner. So that's what he's teaching from his pastime. If you want to become a great person, if you want to become godly, let's say, Krishna says in Gita, become like me. Become like me in quantity. Oh, sorry, not in quantity. In quality, not in quantity. Prabhupada says in many of his conversations, not many, but some of them, Prabhupada said in many of his lectures also, don't be an ordinary man. You read that? Don't be an ordinary man. Behave like God. And Bible also says, Christ says, it's a famous saying of Christ. He says, become perfect like my Father in the heaven. If you want to become like him. And for that you have to behave in a godly manner. And who is a God on earth? One of the name of Brahmanas is Bhusurgana. You know this? Rupa Goswami uses this word. Bhusurgana. Brahmanas on the earth or devotees are called Bhusurgana. Bhu means earth and Sura means God. Devotees are called God on earth. They are not called man on earth. No. Why? Because their behavior is like Krishna. And what Krishna is doing? Krishna is not thinking about himself. He doesn't think how he gets released. In spite of the fact he's bonded, he's thinking how to make other people released. That's a godly action, isn't it? A mortal man cannot do that. It's impossible. And that's what he's teaching here, that I'm bonded. Even in this condition, I can release people. I can liberate people. Then you can imagine, if I'm free, how can more I liberate others? But this doesn't go to ordinary man. Any bonded living entity cannot liberate others. But Krishna can do that. So in this pastime, he's revealing his power, at the same time, sweetness. He is powerful. He's acting very sweet. He's bonded. He's fearful. But at the same time, his powers are working. This is called Achinte Shakti. That is why Mahaprabhu named our philosophy Achinte Bheda Ved Tattva. It's Achinte. He didn't say it is inconceivable because we cannot understand it. That's not the point. This Mayavadis will say, it is inconceivable because you cannot understand it. No. It is inconceivable because you can understand it to a certain extent. But after that, it becomes illogical. You can understand that it is illogical. At least that much. But Mayavadis will say, you cannot understand anything. It's beyond scope of human intelligence. We say, no. Intelligence can know. Mahaprabhu called our philosophy inconceivable because not because you cannot understand it, but because there are contradictions. There are contradictions, and those contradictions human intelligence cannot handle. So you can hear about this contradiction. I'm just telling you. Krishna is absolutely in a sweet mood, but his inconceivable powers are working and he wants to liberate somebody. Kubera Atma Jau Vadha. This is a contradiction. How he does that, we don't know. We have no idea. And that's why this philosophy is Achintya. Actually, this word Achintya is a very deep philosophy because if you really study about that, whole material universe is Achintya. Everything is contradictory in this material world, especially with quantum physics. We know everything is contradictory, no? Light behaves like a wave and... You know this, no? Wave-particle duality. It's contradictory. So that nature of God is reflecting in the nature of matter. If you really think about it. Everything is contradictory. Everything cannot be resolved. It can be heard, it can be understood, it can be seen, but you will not be able to attain any resolution. This goes with matter, this goes with circumstances in this material world. And that is why Krishna says, don't try to solve problems in this material world because sometimes there are no solutions. Don't try, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Illusion will try to delude you. There are solutions. Everything doesn't have solution. This thing doesn't have solution. How can Krishna be? Krishna can act sweet and powerful at the same time. No solution. It's impossible to understand. So that's the seventh verse. That's the secret of Damodar Lila. And the eighth verse is the most important teaching of Damodar Ashtakam. The eighth verse is Namaste tu damne swarat deepti damne todiyo daraya tha vishwasya dhamne namo radhikayai todiyo priyayai namo antalilaya devaya tubhyam. Tubhyam means to you, devaya means oh my lord, namo anantalilaya, all these pastimes I am offering obeisances, but I am specifically paying obeisance to the rope which has tied you. And that rope is a representation of Radharani. Namo Radhikayai. That rope, it seems it is a rope, but it's not a rope. It's Radha. In the form of rope. In spiritual world, this can happen, by the way. In here, it cannot happen, but it's like that. So, Satyavrata Muni is revealing that secret. And with that secret, he's revealing a principle of devotion of Prem Vashyata. This is one of the main teachings of Damodar Ashtakam, Damodar Leela. Prem Vashyata. That means Krishna can be only bound by love. There is no other force which can bind him. Only love can bind him. And in fact, he wants to be bounded by love. He wants that. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu says how Krishna thinks. Krishna says, you know what, I'm absolutely bored by being independent. I am liberated. I am the master of liberated souls. And I am bored of this. So I want to be binded by somebody. And there is no other force which can bind except love. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the aim of life is love of God. The aim of life is not God. He makes this point clear. Although other acharyas, their goal is God, Vishnu himself. But here our goal is not God because we know there is something above God. Although philosophically there is nobody above God. But when you go to Vrindavan, everything becomes upside down. Philosophy becomes upside down there. Because there we are thinking from Rasa Vichar. And there, in Vrindavan, God is love. Which controls Krishna, which controls Radha. And that is why Mahaprabhu says, yes, your target should be love of God. Because Prabhupada says in one of his lecture that if you love Krishna, he'll be in your fist. Prabhupada makes this point. And lecture ends. That's a big statement to make, isn't it? Krishna is in your fist. Even Bilwamala Thakur in his songs, Krishna Karnamrit, in Bilwamala Thakur, he makes a statement, Sarvagyatva api mugdhaiva sarvabhavamcha. He says, although Krishna is omniscient, sarvagya, nevertheless, he can be bound by love, and that love forces him to behave in such a ways in which Supreme Personality of Godhead should not behave. Doesn't look nice when Supreme Person behaves like that. But love forces him to behave like that. That's what Bimala Thakur says. These are all the secrets which Damodar Leela have. 8 secrets in 8 verses. If you want to recap that, I can just recap it and then we can wind it. The first verse, Namameshwaram, it gives a secret that Krishna can be simultaneously bewildered and omniscient. He can be simultaneously the most intelligent and the most foolish person. The second verse has a secret to tell us that the more you are absorbed in devotion, your absorption in devotion will lead to more bewilderment of Krishna. It depends on us. The more you absorb, the more ignorance and bewilderment he'll manifest. The third verse helps us to understand the secret that the whole aim and object of life, why he's doing such pastimes, so that he makes us glorify him. It's not that we are glorifying him. That's why devotee never becomes egoistic. Or I am doing devotion and I am glorifying him. We know that we are not doing devotion and we are not glorifying him. He is a director. He is making us glorify himself by all these pastimes. If he doesn't do these pastimes, we are out. He is holding us. We are holding him, but his grip is more stronger than our grip. We understand that. The fourth verse reveals a secret that Krishna reciprocates with such kind of devotees, who understands all these things. The fifth verse is all about Krishna wants to share this bliss with his devotees. And the whole point to experience the bliss in devotional service is not to experience it, but to appreciate it. Then you can experience the bliss. You have to worship that bliss. The sixth verse explains, okay, if you want to worship that bliss, you have to make yourself prepared. Because you can't worship bliss if your mental frame is not prepared. How to make it prepare? By combining mercy and efforts. Your heart should have, in your heart, there should be efforts, and in your vision, there should be mercy. And then you can make yourself qualified and deserving to actually understand all these mysteries. The seventh verse reveals a secret that Krishna is revealing how a devotee should be, what kind of quality we should have. We should be godly in nature, and we should not behave like a man. And the only quality of godly people is that they don't care about themselves. They think about others. Even if they are bonded, still they think of liberating others. That's what a great personality is. And in the process of liberating others, they themselves get liberated. That's the whole idea there. If you want to feed others, you will never go hungry. Am I right? Because you have food with you. You don't go hungry. If you are doing charity of food, you will never go hungry. That's how it goes. And the eighth word explains the final secret of Damodar Ashtakam, that is Prem Vashyata. Krishna likes to be binded by love. There's no other force which can bind him except love. And that is why our target is not God. Our target is love of God. We have to keep this in mind. And the whole idea in pastimes of Krishna is not to understand God more, relatively. It's to understand his love for devotees and devotees' love for God. In that process of loving God, you will understand God himself automatically, because then he will come in your grips. That's what is Damodar Leela's teachings. 8 secrets in 8 verses. They are very deep verses, so that's what is Diwali about. So Diwali is all about crackers and what's that? Fireworks and festival. This is a festival. You get 8 secrets today. So you can remember them. You can meditate on them, apply them in your life, and we can attain Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Can you just change it? I just want to tell you something, and then you can just do whatever you want. This is one pen drive. I just wanted to tell. I have a flash drive. I have so many things to share with you, and I have so many seminars on politics. Yeah, politics in a good sense, not in a bad sense. Krishna is teaching how to manage. And there are many shastras, Niti Shastra, Shukracharya, Vidur Niti, and there are many seminars on Bhagavad Gita, many seminars like this, what I'm speaking on, many prayers of Bhagavatam. What I want people to understand logically and systematically. So all these seminars are there in this. There is 400 hours of lecture and 8 hours of video. So you can put this flash drive, 16 GB, in your car. That's why I made it, because people are mostly spending their time in car, am I right? Traveling. You can put it and keep on hearing. Maybe in your computer, it'll just work. So you can just put it. Videos you can see on your laptop. I'm a scientist. I'm a geneticist. So I preach to scientists. That's what I do. This is my side business, to speak on devotion, but or maybe personal business. But there are so many seminars I've given in Stanford and in America. There's what. And there was science and spirituality. So you can have a look at that also. So this is one flash drive. You can have a look. There are some books. Oh, this is a book, Mighty Efforts. Whatever I was saying today, that's there in this book, Efforts and Mercy. And I was talking about that fight and all those things. So this will tell you how to put efforts, whether you're putting true efforts or wrong efforts, whether you're advancing or not advancing. You have to have discrimination. There's another book, Crazy Ideas, because we think that people are crazy. People are crazy, all right. We are also crazy. We have so many ideas that Krishna consciousness is a sect. Or why do we only believe in Krishna? Why only Bhagavatam? What's Bible doing? What's Quran doing? And so many scriptures, so many messages, so many gods. What about aliens? What about ghosts? What about vegetarianism? What about vegan? What we are doing here? So all these questions I have put in this and given you answers from theology, theosophy, from various religions. Because you know what? It is helping in preaching. Because when you preach, you can't say Prabhupada said this. It's absurd to speak like that. When you're preaching to ordinary people, you have to give a very broad view. You have to tell them the principles we follow, those are universal. It's not sectarian Krishna conscious principle. We are not a sect. We are giving you universal principles which are applicable in all religions. Of course, we have more depth. That's another thing. So for that, I've written this book. You will find answers from so many places, and it will convince you also. This is one book, Science Fails to Explain Life. This is about the story of life, how scientists reduced life, broke life into first molecules, then into atoms, then into interaction between molecules, then into genetics, and then into information. The latest news is life is information. But when they thought about it, life is information, they were confused. How can life be just information? And the story has come back to, again, point zero. And they have no idea what's the definition of life. They have no idea how does life originate. They have no idea what's life all about. They have no idea of anything. So I've explained this in simple terms. You see, when you read scientific papers, you're not going to understand head and tails about that. Because they'll begin with a word which you will take whole life to understand. So I put this in very simple words, removing all jargons, so you know what's happening the other side of the wall, what they're doing at the top, and then you will understand how confused they are. And then you can understand the Vedic alternative. And then you can tell to your children or what, you know. Because they will ask you all these things. My papa, life comes from soup. Because that's what scientist says. But then he should have proper answers. Then he will say, you know what, I don't know which kind of soup, but some good soup it should be. Then they'll say, kids will say, Papa, you're foolish. So you should have some kind of answers, people ask. So all these things are there in this. If you want to have these books and flash drive, I'll be right outside. And I'll be happy to give you. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm done.